Winter Blues. Winter Blues, the theme of the 8th day of February. And it's completely appropriate that as I gather my clothing and bag to go to fly from Cork to Bristol in the UK to see my son perform a small bit part in a new production opening tomorrow evening of King Lear in Shakespeare at the Tobacco Factory in Bristol. It's completely appropriate that I tune into Rachel Phillips on Audioboo, her Winter Blues audio, who has already recorded 246 boos. No, I've got it wrong. She hasn't recorded 246 boos. There are 246 boos recorded so far under the heading February. And I'm not quite sure where Rachel falls into that. I just know that listening to her, her 10th boo, that's what told me what I was meant to talk about tonight. I'd done a quick scamper around the place, looking quickly, like a couple, 2, 3, 4 seconds, trying to find out, what's the theme? I've been very good at keeping to the theme. So it's Winter Blues. I'm procrastinating, no question about it. I'm really procrastinating. I'm procrastinating because this is too serious a topic for me to launch into on the eve of seeing King Lear. I mean, King Lear is hardly the place to be associated with in the middle of the winter. I'm actually going to my first live performance of King Lear. My second son is an actor and he's got a small bit part. And he's enthralled with the other people in the cast who he considers to be the best actors he's ever acted with in his life. And I'm procrastinating particularly because of the phrase winter blues. I'm somebody who's written an awful lot about depression and about mental health. And the reason I've written a lot about it is that I have a good deal of experience of severe depression. And, you know, I wouldn't call it winter blues, to be truthful. What I've experienced has nearly killed me on a number of occasions, and it's not the kind of downer that you get and the weather gets better and you get better. No, but I get the point. Winter blues is a serious matter. I was initially very drawn to the idea of beating winter blues, meaning get out all your blue clothes, put them on top of the bed and get a big, long stick and beat the shit out of them. You know, that would be called, you know, beating winter blues. That would be to take a frivolous theme. And to be honest, because I haven't listened to all the other audio boos yet, or even very few, any of them except for Rachel's, I'm not sure what note this theme is likely to strike with people. So, and I am a kind of a, behind it all, quite a serious person who would be reluctant to address winter blues frivolously, really. Because people who get the blues may stay stuck in the blues, and, you know, it's not easy to get through it. And, you know, it also would be ridiculous for me to try to say, hey, I'll give you a 3-step process. Let me tell you how to deal with the winter blues. Another son of mine once said to me when I was in the depths of severe depression on one occasion, and he was actually trying to be very helpful. He said, Dad, look, the best thing you can do is go for a skydive. Jump out of from 25,000 feet up and you know, you won't have any more blues after that or any more depression after that. I found his remarks at the time to be persecutory, certainly difficult to hear. And it wasn't until an amount of time later that I realised there was something very profound in what he was saying. I went to the gym on another occasion for the first time in my life, and I did one of these February things, resolved that I'd go to the gym every single day for a period of time. And after a couple of, and I thought, well, going to the gym was really hard work. It would really be a dead slog. You'd have to sweat and struggle and push and make a big effort, and it would be very tough, and you'd feel very righteous when you came out. What I realised was that there was a big secret behind all these people that go to the gym, something that they don't really broadcast enough, or maybe they deliberately don't do it, because they talk about losing weight and toning up and getting the old muscles and the abs and all that sort of thing going. But no, after a period of, after about 10 or 12 minutes on rowing machine, on bicycle, on this, that and the other, I noticed something happening to me in the gym. And this was as a complete novice to this stuff. I noticed that after I got through a certain barrier, I actually began to enjoy it. Maybe 10 or 12 is a bit quick, but maybe certainly by 16 or 17 minutes into my so-called program in the gym. Novice program, program for beginners. I actually started to enjoy it. And, you know, all these, what do they call them? Endorphins or... Anyway, good hormones or stuff like that kicked in. And by the time I'd finished in the gym, I was loving it. And by the time I'd jumped in a bath of water and got dressed and gone outside, I was in great humour. And this happened to me once, and I thought, fair enough. And then it happened to me again, happened to me again. And then I realised that all these people going to the gym, in my perspective, they must surely be adrenaline junkies, and they dress all their rationale up on the basis of what a good it'll do them. But it does them tremendous good. Now, that does not mean that my solution for the so-called winter blues is either to jump out of a plane from 25,000 feet or take yourself to the gym. But I'm going to, you know, and neither am I going to say that I think exercise is the right thing for everybody. A bugbear of mine is that when you go to the doctor feeling awful, dreadful, to a doctor who doesn't particularly know you very well, instead of treating you the way they would in a restaurant, and say, well, here's our menu, you pick which course would you'd most like to have, and we'll serve you the best we can within that, and hopefully you'll leave here a very happy customer. Doctors never do that. I've, in my experience, when you go to the doctor does not say to you, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that you're feeling like that. Well, look, I have a menu here for when people come to me speaking the way you are speaking about how you're feeling. And we offer essentially six main courses. They are as follows. Take a bit of exercise. Number two, read one of these particularly good self-help books that we keep. Number three is do a bit of meditation, and here's what we recommend in the meditation sticks. Number four is take some chemicals. Tablets, we've got some really nice ones here. Number five is go to talk to somebody. We've got some really skilled listeners here. And number six is phone a friend. And so on. Doctors don't do that. If they knew everybody to whom they offer one single course of action, if they knew that, everybody, incredibly well, so that they knew that we're a practice, a medical practice, that only attracts people of a certain type. And all the people who are attracted to our practice, it suits them to take chemicals. Then I'd understand it, why doctors prescribe antidepressants in almost every case. Now, of course, there'll be doctors jumping up and down, sitting in their seats saying, how dare he suggest that I would do this willy-nilly to anybody who came in. You know, I do a careful diagnostic conversation with the person. But no. We all know that we've never met a doctor who ever presented us with a menu of actions and left us to be the one to choose. Of course, you could always say to somebody, look, if you don't like the first course that we give you, just send it back. Send it back. The chef will be quite happy to send out another one to you. Or, you know, if it doesn't work, come back. We'll give you a free entry, and we'll give you another interview. But we'll be here for you, no matter which thing you choose. Even if it doesn't work, I've got several other things for you. So I, Winter Blues, right, persuade your doctor to change her or his approach totally. Not just for you, but for other people, so that when you get down and you have the blues, they don't foist drugs on you as a gut reaction or as an initial reaction. Quite different from a careful thoughtful assessment in which you yourself, the person in difficulty, has indicated that X or Y course would suit you best. Yeah, do that. And the other thing is, what was the other piece? Anyway, look, I'm not an advisor. I'm just ruminating on the theme of winter blues. So I've got a blue exercise ball, one of these big round things that somebody else who lives in the house here would use. It's one of these balancing balls, you know, you roll your back on it. And that's blue, so I'd banish that blue. And I really would, if I had more time, I'd listen to more of the blues. So I think I'll just go and warm myself up and thrill myself by going to King Lear in Bristol, the opening night. It is sold out. In case you're listening to this in Bristol, do come and meet me. Tweet me on Omani blog, and I will go out of my way to meet you tomorrow afternoon in Bristol. I'll have a couple of hours on my hands. Yeah, do tweet me from Bristol. Let's meet up. Maybe you can tell me where Shakespeare in the tobacco factory, and that is the name of the theatre, is. Okay, all the best. Good night.